I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic, title of our podcast today is Blue Christmas, the death of the Dempsey family, that were murdered on Christmas Eve after doing an act of charity. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
That's what happens when you do acts of charity.
We're going to talk about this gruesome, gruesome story. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language. We're going to try not to make too much fun of this situation because it's a terribly sad situation. But I'm sure that we'll find other things to amuse you.
So recap the story for me here, Timmy.
You just want a general overview?
Just a general.
When I do that, Brandy jumps on me for spoiler alerts. So I'm trying to hold back. But basically, a woman who was kind of down on her luck was invited to her family member's home and then basically killed everyone.
She behaved badly.
Christmas. Yeah. So,
but who hasn't had what I'm saying for Christmas? You know what? Who hasn't had that kind of Christmas that they wanted to do that? See,
yeah,
you say it's
that was the lady actually did.
I say it's a motivational story for me, Timmy, because somebody actually did it. They turned Christmas into a true Festivus, Timmy. I got some problems
she's
with you people, and I'm going to deal with them.
It
now.
Was
got
a
problems.
Festivus, all right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do
that. Now, you know, we're going to get trashed in our reviews, you know, if we're perceived of taking this lightly. But, you know, do we care at this point? I mean, have you seen our reviews?
Well, I see them.
I don't read them.
I'm not sure.
I don't read our press.
You know, I still read them, but not
You know,
at
the
all.
Problem is with that, Timmy, you know, when you start reading your own press, you start believing it, you get a big head. You know, I'm just a colonel. You know, I'm just a colonel that always been. Just a man, a common man of the people.
You know, you've been the colonel at least 8 years on this podcast. When are you going to get a promotion, man?
I have turned down a promotion, Timmy. I like being a colonel.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm not about power, Timmy. I'm not about, you know, I'm just about contentment.
You're a middle management type.
Exactly.
Is that what you're telling me?
I want to be the best colonel I can be. I think there's honor in being the best colonel you can be, Timmy.
Well, we have been on the air now for 8 years, Brandy.
All right. Doesn't seem like it, does it?
Well, 2 more years, it'll be our 10-year anniversary. Are you going to buy me?
Something befitting your station on this podcast.
Baron?
Well, I'm already a baron. I'm a lord.
You know, Timmy, here's the thing. As a colonel, I don't have to decide to bomb Laos and Cambodia. I'm just the guy who bombs
especially
them.
Especially since we're not at war with Laos and Cambodia.
Well, that's what they want you to believe, Timmy.
Oh. So you're still stuck in Nam.
Well, Nam never ended, Timmy. Nam never ended.
So you're saying that, you know, few were left behind, kind of.
They're still fighting.
Continue a partisan type of guerrilla warfare.
Oh, yeah.
And that's. So you go over there every once in a while.
I go over and help them. But no, I'm saying the responsibility of deciding, you know, I'm going to bomb Cambodia, that rests with the generals.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want that kind of pressure. As a colonel, you're just the guy who gets in the plane and drops the bombs. And I can live with, you know, your conscience is cleaner because I didn't make that decision, Timmy.
You're okay with that. You're comfortable in your own skin is what you're telling us.
Right.
I see that. You know, what about that, Brandy? What do you think about that?
Well, I think I'm reading our reviews and they bitch because we take too long to get to the fucking topic. And so I'm super shocked by that. So if we could just do that, that'd be great.
All right, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by a lady who has been described as a fair maiden. Colonel?
No, I've never been that.
Well,
a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
You know what? I am okay, Timmy. I'm now able to drive. I'm off my crutches. So my knee is, you know, it's cold here today, so my knee is singing just a little bit.
So to catch our listeners up, you broke your leg in a terrible accident where you jumped out of a plane without a parachute. Is that correct?
No. I just had a meniscus tear repaired.
My really way close. Would have been more interesting.
It would have been. It would have been. And I get asked a lot, like, what happened? What did you do? And I'm like, I'm old. I've abused my body for 48 years, playing ball under all kinds of shit. Shit falls apart. So that's where we are.
We're glad you're doing better.
I'm just going to throw in here and check you on something because, you know, the colonel like to keep it real. When you say abusing your body and then sports, I think there's a few other things you're leaving out there, Devil.
This is going to be one of those when keeping it real goes wrong situations because.
So you mean, Colonel, you mean like drug use,
right.
Alcohol abuse?
First of all, neither of those things have anything to do with me tearing my meniscus. I played ball for a long time.
Yeah, so, but you know what, Devil? You was a first baseman, right?
No, I was an outfielder.
You were an outfielder? Okay, so running down a fly ball. Okay, that takes a little bit of effort. But knocking back a case of a Schlitz when you're 17 years old, when you knock back two cases of Pabst Blue Ribbon when you're, you know, 35,
so that's maybe a harder on your ripple body. Here and there.
Well, first of all, again, it was a meniscus tear, which doesn't have anything to do with either. But I would think, Chuck, you of all people would understand because you are falling apart as well.
Yes, I am.
You know,
maybe some Thunderbird on the weekend.
We have, you know, it's like my right shoulder and my right knee. And everybody's wondering what's caused it. And I'm like, that's my throwing side. That's, you know, everything happens back there. So, I mean, it's just.
I can't even throw a dog. Ball to the dogs anymore. I have to throw it underhand like girls pitch, you know, in softball.
Well, Brandy, I hate to interrupt, Brandy, but one of the reviews that I'm reading is saying that we have too much
brandy time. Yeah,
I see.
And they're very specific on that. We are on brandy time. Tell us more about your surgery.
It successful?
Yeah, it was successful, but I have a bunch of arthritis in it. So that kind of sucks. And I'll probably have to have it replaced somewhere down the road. Also sucks.
Did you ever think about getting an artificial leg? I mean, you know, like a peg leg?
You know, I did. I did think about that. Probably would have been an easier recovery.
But don't get one that looks like a leg. Just get the peg leg.
First of all,
bring it back.
If
Randy.
I was going to get
bring
mine,
it back.
No, I'd get a blade. Let's settle down. I'm not getting a peg leg.
You know what, Colonel, we should bring back is the Van Dyke beard.
Yes, yeah. Please you do bring that back. Yeah.
I think we would look good in that.
Chuck first. Colonel. You can't even grow facial hair.
Me?
Yeah.
I can. I just shave
Timmy
every
just
day.
Shaves every day. Timmy, I think, shaves twice a day. I've never seen him scruffy looking.
Yeah, I do, well, sometimes twice a day. But, well, you know, you haven't seen me since I retired, so I might not be as, clean shaven now. But
oh, for fuck's sake. All right, let's ask about Charles.
Let me introduce a man who needs no introduction, really, but we're going to give him one. A man who, if he chose Brandy, could have a much higher rank than that of colonel.
No,
a man who has been caught, you know, there's these air balloons from China going over the United States, and we're all kind, you know, there's all kind of problems we're facing this country. And in these turbulent times, people turn. They need some place to turn, Brandy.
No.
And that what they've been doing is turning to the colonel.
No, they haven't.
He's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
I know one.
The very honorable, the best-selling author.
Had to make love.
A man of God.
Oh, my gosh.
And his new upcoming book, How to Make Love to a Woman Again, the Reverend Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm doing good, Timmy. I'm going to relate something happened that's closely tied into the book. And I'm a target. You know, I'm a common man of the people. I don't, you know, just go to Rodeo Drive.
You don't put on airs, that's for sure.
I don't.
You know, like someone who wants to call herself a queen and all that nonsense.
I don't think I did that, but I think that was something you gave me, but okay. So dipshit's at Target.
I'm at Target.
With anything, but okay.
Woman and a husband come up to me. They approach me. Are you the colonel? And I said, I am indeed the colonel. And she said, sir, could I have you up first? You know, it's always an autograph and a selfie, and I did that. And she said, I just want to tell you, your book saved our marriage. It saved our marriage.
That has to make you feel wonderful.
It did make me feel wonderful.
Scared.
And she said to me, she said, you know, and I listened to your show, of course. And she said, one thing I think, though, that they should introduce you as, because Timmy says you're a man, an oasis, and it does. She said, after reading this book, you know what I think of you as? The Golden Corral of lovemaking.
Okay,
you got the whole buffet, Timmy. You can have your meats, your sweets.
Cheap and easy.
She said, the colonel is the Golden Corral of lovemaking, Timmy.
No, they didn't. And this conversation's making me nauseous.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I just like go to Golden Corral. I don't even want to eat. I just let them watch people. People are gross there.
But I will tell you that they have an amazing breakfast bar. And if you get there at the right time, you can have the breakfast bar and the lunch bar.
Oh.
See?
I'm not.
I believe that's double dipping.
I'm not buying that sneeze guard that they have over there.
Oh, no. No. You know what? They tried to save money and use the chicken wire instead of the plexiglass.
Chicken wire.
And it just doesn't seem to.
It's not the same.
It doesn't seem effective to me. And, you know, a sneeze guard doesn't stop a four-year-old from putting his hand in the banana pudding. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Thank God I don't eat banana pudding.
Now, Timmy, this is going to be a shameless plug because the colonel has moved on. actually a chapter in the book, the shameless plug. But I got another project working on. You know how all those more uppity, well-known stars did did the whole "We are the world, we are the world, we are the children,"
right?
Which was stupid. I believe the children are future. I hope the hell my children are our future.
Cyndi Lauper.
So I decided, you know what? I'm going to start now because the holidays will be upon us. They're always upon us more quickly than we realize.
Yeah, well, it's about 10 months, but yeah, Colonel, Christmas will be here in about 10
so
months.
Right
what,
now,
what's you got going on?
We're starting production on a CD, a compact disc of your favorite holiday classics called, we're going to call it, It's a Colonel Christmas, Timmy.
It's a Colonel.
I'm
going to
do duets,
Randy,
with other people of the Christmas standards,
wow,
Timmy.
Well, now, what kind of, like, give me an example of someone you would be
can
going
we,
to duet
I
with.
Just want
big
to
stars, Timmy. Big stars.
Christmas.
I mean, I got.
Big stars.
Big stars. Eric Estrada's going to do one, Timmy.
First of all,
Estrada,
I love Punch.
Yeah, he's a big star, yeah. Brandy.
I got Punch. Well, so far, now, a lot of people are tentative. They're checking the schedules. But so far, I got pegged Frank Stallone.
I love Frank Stallone.
Not Sylvester Stallone. You got his brother.
Yeah.
I love Frank Stallone. He's
okay.
Hilarious.
I need you guys to just hold on to your seats when I drop this name on you because it's going to blow right out of your seats. You know who's going to do Silent Night with me, Timmy?
Who's that, Colonel?
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
I got Carrot Top.
You know, I read he was on Howard Stern once, and you know what he's into? Bukkake. Carrot Top is into Bukkake.
And
imagine that, Brandy.
I've got Oh Holy Night, Timmy, and I'm not sure that she got the. I think she thinks the song means something else, but do you remember Chyna, the wrestler that went into porn, Timmy?
The one that's dead. The one that's dead.
But you know, you can go back, Brandy, and if they, you know, they can use AI or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can, like, he can do a duet with her. There's nothing wrong with it. She doesn't have to be alive.
Well, then why not? What Chuck should do a duet with, you know,
Larry Flint. Yeah.
Larry Flint.
Sam Kinison.
All right, well, Colonel, you keep us abreast of all the people that you're going to be singing with throughout the show, because I'm sure our listeners.
Well, I'm
going to
have calls coming in,
No, what they're anxious to hear is about this fucking Dempsey family. That's what they're anxious to hear about. Nobody gives a shit about Chuck's shit.
All right, the loss of a loved one, Brandy, is life's most stressful event. And can cause major emotional crisis. After the death of someone you love, you experience bereavement, which literally means to be deprived by death. Bet you didn't know that, Brandy.
I don't care.
When a death takes place, you may experience a wide range of emotions, Brandy, even when death is expected. I mean, really, it should always be expected, don't you think, Colonel? I mean,
well,
it's always going to happen.
It should be expected, but, you know, it's never expected. Somebody died the other day, and Renee said, they were 94 years old. And Renee looks at me and said, what did they die from? And I said, well, being 94 years old. You know, I mean, you can't live forever. You don't need a reason when you're 94. True. You know, you can just decide,
guys,
I'm going to go to the Rainbow Bridge.
Have you seen the commercial for, like, I don't know, Colonial Penn or whatever, where it's these two people talking in the kitchen, and she's like, oh, remember so-and-so's neighbor that used to run marathons? And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, not anymore. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. Not anymore.
First of all, that's just a
slap in the face.
I mean, maybe he just sprained his knee or whatever. And they're all just, I mean, poor guy. He's over there having to answer all these questions. No, I'm not dead. I just, you know.
Dun, dun. He's running with the devil.
Many people report feeling an initial stage of numbness after learning of a death. But there is no real order to the grieving process. But some emotions you may experience include denial, which is disbelief, confusion, sadness, anger, despair, and even guilt, Randy.
No commas between those words. That's a bold choice.
You know, you ever seen that episode where Homer Simpson like went through all
in one day
all the stages like in like 30 seconds? Although most people are able to get through the process without harming themselves or others, there are occasions when grief is so overwhelming that the process takes a dark turn. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
I would just like to hear about it. So let's do it.
Well, in today's story, we discuss such an event.
Dun, dun, dun.
In 1933, Brandy, 37-year-old Catherine Schock was a very happy and contented nurse living in Dunkirk, New York. She was married to her husband of 10 years. His name was Harold Schock. And he was a prominent attorney. Schock? Like myself. He was a prominent attorney, Brandy.
You are a prominent attorney.
Well, he passed the bar. You did not. Isn't Dunkirk where they did that movie that had Harry Styles in it?
Yeah, that was in France, but whatever. This is here in the U.S., Dunkirk, New York. The couple had a 7-year-old son named Billy. Aren't they always named Billy? Like when something tragic happens, you know, like in a war movie.
Yeah, there's always a Billy.
Know, Billy's this blonde-headed kid, blue-eyed, just off the boat.
Cute kid.
Yeah. Well, the couple had a 7-year-old son named Billy that were their pride and joy. So you can tell kind of where this is going, Colonel, without even knowing the script.
Oh, no. Billy going to bite it.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, anytime you got a cute little
He's not running marathons anymore. Let's put it that way.
It ain't going to end well. It just ain't going to end well.
If it helps you understand, Brandy, he's not running marathons anymore.
Yeah. Sadly, not anymore.
Billy ain't.
She doesn't seem sad about it at all.
Billy ain't doing those anymore.
In 1934, things started to fall apart for the Schock family. Harold had begun drinking, which is never a good sign. And after losing a fortune in the stock market, right, and this was during the Depression, after all. But, I mean, like, it's 1934. The market crashed in 29. You'd think he'd learned his fucking lesson by 19.
He's not a good investor.
Maybe he had cryptocurrency. Maybe that was a problem, Brandy.
Huh?
Anyway, maybe he had cryptocurrency.
Maybe.
Colonel, you have a share of cryptocurrency, don't you?
I got some. Timmy, you know what I got? I got Batcoin, Timmy. Batcoin.
He's got Bitcoin,
but Batcoin. It's
got Beanie Babies.
And I got a Beanie Baby collection. It's
Are those things still expensive?
Yes, and just keep, yeah. That's his retirement plan, are those Beanie Babies. So
my retirement plan or my Beanie Babies? They're my baseball cards, Timmy.
Well, yeah, so you won't be retiring anytime in the next 30 years or so, I suppose.
Patience, Timmy. And they're long-term investments.
You're in it for the long term. Wise investor. But Harold wasn't such a wise investor, and he started losing a fortune in the stock market. He started drinking, and he took his own life in March 1934. So this rosy picture that I painted about the Schock family, Brandy, now it's a little bit darker. Because Harold put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. So
he won't be
running a marathon anymore, Brandy.
Sadly.
Harold reached the finish line.
Maybe that should be, you know, like on TikTok where you're not allowed to say someone died or
he's no longer running marathons. Alive.
Yeah, I mean, that would
be the euphemism. You know, running marathons, well, they just released a big study. That's terrible for your body. It ages you.
Of course it is.
People start in their 40s to try to keep young by running, then they get hooked, and then they get into marathons. And it actually ages you faster.
And then next thing you know, they have knee surgery.
Hip surgery.
So not running marathons puts us ahead of the curve, because I already knew those things were crazy.
You know, Timmy,
overachievers.
Seriously, a friend of mine is, he's about 32 years old. He held two records, two different records for, it's, you know, when you're weightlifting and you just grab the weights and pull them up to your
it's
hip.
It's a deadlift.
A deadlift?
It's called a deadlift.
Yeah, yeah, two records for that, Timmy. Do you know at 32 years old, this boy has already had both hips replaced? Yeah, he doesn't do it. He still works out, but he doesn't do the deadlifting.
That took a super long time to get to not a great point. So,
well, I mean, when your hips goes, hips don't lie. No,
they don't.
He ain't bringing his milkshake ain't bringing the girls to the yard no more.
Not anymore. All right.
Well, that's those. Colonel, who else is on your special?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
There's so many, Timmy.
Or on your album.
And you know, with so many of these famous stars, Timmy, it's, you know, talking to my people, talking to their people. But right now, just this morning, my people was talking to Dr. Phil, Timmy.
Wait a minute. Wasn't this like, didn't they used to do the Night of a Thousand Stars on ABC or something? Where
yeah,
they have all of their network stars come on and dance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of like
you know what really disappointed me though, Timmy. Who I could not get. I had my heart set, Paul Lynn from the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, he's dead.
But I can get Charles Nelson Reilly, Timmy.
Can you get Madam? Wait a minute. Can you get Madam the puppet?
Waylon and Madam.
I think Madam's a good. I think Madam's a great one.
Yeah, but hopefully I can get, you know, Charles Nelson Reilly, he's pretty solidly on board. So
that's good. He's a definitely maybe, right?
Oh, he's a definite pencil me in is what he said.
How about Wally Cox? You think Wally Cox would be interested?
He's too high maintenance for me, Timmy. He's too high.
Oh, is he? Well, you know he used to sleep with Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I know.
No shit. They were things.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. My God. So what happened?
I mean,
she's still.
When you think of Marlon Brando, do you think he could get laid by someone more attractive than
you
Wally
would think
Cox?
So? Oh, you would think so.
Okay. So she's.
Maybe Wally Cox had a big.
So yeah. She is still dealing with the death of her husband. Is that correct?
Yeah, still dealing. Catherine was still dealing with the grief of her deceased husband. She was coming to terms with it, being a single parent. When guess what, Brandy?
What happened?
Tragedy struck once more.
So she was not a good single parent.
7-year-old Billy actually drowned in a swimming pool accident.
Oh.
In the course of 8 months, Catherine lost the two most important people in her life. That would be her husband, Harold, and her 7-year-old son, Billy. So neither Harold or Billy is running marathons anymore, Brandy.
No.
Your thoughts on that, if any?
I have none.
Okay. Well, the house in question is a multi-family unit located at 103 Good Lane. Technically, it was given the different set of addresses by 1988, but it is still better associated with the name Good Lane. And this house becomes important because there's something tragic that's going to occur here. This is in Perrysville, Pennsylvania. You've been to Perrysville, haven't you, Colonel?
I've been there.
Now, nobody thinks much of the house today, except for those. So it's still standing, Brandy. You can actually go there and see this house at 103 Good Lane, Perrysville, Pennsylvania. Nobody thinks much of the house today except those who have been in Perrysville for a long time or those who have heard stories passed down from generation to generation. So, but to most people, it's just a simple old building owned by Schneider Real Estate Office. I'm not sure if that's John Schneider of the Dukes of Hazzard, but he would be a good one to have on your album, Colonel.
He would be a good one. But
God, have you seen those guys lately?
Yeah, but you know, if I get him, what my fear is, if I get too many, is that I'm going to have to bump, and he was, I'd say, really the big star in the 80s musical group Wham, is Andrew Ridgely. I got to save a spot for him.
I haven't seen him doing much lately.
Well, that's because he's been working on some, I don't know really what he's been doing. I think he's working at a Target or something. Now, that might have been him that came up to me. But he's going
to
do...
You think he goes up to pick girls in bars and says, yeah, I used to be...
Yeah, me and him are going to do the song. And it's a controversial song, Timmy, but him and I think we're going to do Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Well, you know, that gets quite a controversial song there, Colonel. Give us a few bars of that, Colonel.
I have to rehearse that one, Timmy.
Okay.
I got.
Well, anyway, this house.
I gotta go now. Get your ass in here. I gotta go now. Please uncuff me.
Bitch, I said get in here. This house, we're in Good Lane, 103 Good Lane in Perrysville, Pennsylvania, is now occupied by four families who rent small apartments. However, things were far different in 1934, as I'm going to tell you, Brandy. Much as it is today, Perrysville, Pennsylvania, 1934, was a small town which normally wouldn't enter into the spotlight. It's known as the gateway to the country. Now, I have no reason, I don't know what the reason why it's called that, but for whatever reason it's called that. Portsmouth, where I was born, is called where Southern hospitality begins. It's kind of a neat slogan, do you think, Brandy?
Yeah, amazing.
Nothing had happened to the point, in 1934, nothing had happened to the point to give Perrysville much notoriety. However, there weren't all that many homes in town back then, as many large plots were still owned by landowners of ages past. But construction had started up to pick up before the Great Depression hit. Among the homes built in that lifetime was the residence at 103 Good Way. At the time, it was a duplex. It was the home of Walter F. Dempsey, a welfare worker and veteran of World War I, and his wife, Clara. With them lived their four sons, Robert, Thomas, Walter Jr., and David. Wonder why Walter Jr. wasn't the firstborn.
Well,
I don't like it when Junior is born after another male.
Well, they probably had to name the first.
Timmy, that's
kid
my
after
situation.
Her mom or her dad.
I was the second son, and I was named after my father. But my brother was named after my maternal uncle. Grandfather.
So, were you Junior? Are you a Junior?
I'm not a Junior because I have a different middle name.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, they had four sons, and by all accounts, they were normal. They were a normal, happy, suburban family who attended St. Teresa's Church and enjoyed living in the little town of Perrysville, where not a lot was going on. As autumn turned to winter in that year of 1934, residents of Perrysville geared up for another Christmas season. As Colonel is gearing up for the Christmas season with his new double CD, It's a Colonel's Christmas.
It's turning into a triple CD, Timmy. And hold on, I might be just gone for just a second. I got Mackenzie Phillips on the other line, Timmy.
No, Mackenzie
don't.
Phillips?
Yeah, she's jumping on this bandwagon. This could be the thing that brings her back.
I bet.
Puts her right back on the map, Timmy.
Everyone began to decorate their homes and businesses for the holidays, using their Christmas spirit to brighten a time dampened by economic depression. The Dempseys were no different, having prepared their home for a joyous celebration. As the days remaining in the year dwindled, visitors from near and far paid a visit to Perrysville, reuniting with family members in time to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. One such visitor was Catherine Schock, a nurse who has traveled by taxi from Dunkirk, New York. She was the sister of Mr. Dempsey and had recently lost her son, age 7, just 2 months earlier. Of course, before that, she lost her husband, Harold. Harold to suicide and Billy to a drowning. We don't know if it was a suicidal drowning, Brandy, or not, but it was in a swimming pool.
Get Robert Stack on it.
Oh, Robert Stack would be a good one to add, Colonel. You might want to reach out.
I don't like that baritone voice of his. It just ruins Christmas. Oh, no, okay. You can't do a baritone at Christmas to me. And I apologize. I'm trying to stay as engaged as I can. But you know I got my personal assistant, Andrew, always by my side. And he keeps...
So Andrew is still with
us. Well,
yeah,
he's whispering things in my ear, which was we're trying to do this podcast. But Andrew, tell Shelley Long no. And tell her to quit calling. Don't tell her, don't call us, we'll call her, okay? No Shelley Long.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well. Shelley Long would have been perfect. I loved her in Popeye. So.
What?
She wasn't in Popeye.
she wasn't in Popeye. That was Shelley Duvall.
Yeah,
Shelley Duvall. It was Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall, reach out to her.
Yeah, fuck. Shit.
I love Shelley Duvall and Popeye.
I love Tony Stark and Popeye. What the fuck?
You know that Dwayne Robin Rock Williams Johnson is mom. You know Robin Williams' mom said that was his greatest role, Popeye.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I like you know what Patches or Doc, whatever that show was. Jacob the Liar. He always played the same character, basically.
No, he didn't.
Some goofball. It was kind of. Yeah, he was always some goofball who does things differently. The Poet Society.
Oh, my God.
Good Morning Vietnam. He always playing the same character. Anyway, so where was I at, Brandy? I'm lost.
The last paragraph.
She came from, so she was a sister of Mr. Dempsey. She just lost her husband, just lost her son. Shocked and depressed at the untimely death. The Dempseys didn't want her to spend this terrible, sad Christmas alone. So they invited her, out of the goodness of their heart, to spend Christmas in Perryville with their family. When Mrs. Schock arrived in Perryville, her brother took her in, made her feel at home. The evening of December 23rd was a pleasant one for the family. Reunited with their beloved aunt, brother, and sister-in-law, gifts were passed out, bringing great joy to the children.
Yeah.
All right, Brandy, tell us what happens next.
So Catherine had bought everyone gifts. She especially went overboard when it came to the gifts for the boys. They all received fire trucks, which was the favorite toy of her deceased son, Billy. Although the plan was for the children to open their gifts on Christmas Day, Catherine insisted her gifts be opened on Christmas Eve. Walter and Clara Dempsey reluctantly went along with Catherine. It seemed like a small concession after all that Catherine had been through. There was a wonderful dinner prepared by Clara, Catherine's sister-in-law, who was 36, and 1 year younger than Catherine. After dinner, the family sang Christmas carols and opened a few more gifts.
Colonel, have you reached out to Ruth Buzzy at all?
Me and Ruth had a little bit of a falling out a few years ago, Timmy.
What about Janet Reno?
Ring-a-ding-a-ding me, Timmy.
What about BJ and the Bear?
The Bear's
only if
available?
It's the Bear.
But you know
only
how,
if it's the Bear.
You know how hard BJs are to come by, Timmy.
My God.
That's a good point.
Okay, so, all right, so Catherine, who had seemed distant most of the evening, became very animated when the boys opened their gifts from her. She even got on the floor and played with the fire trucks with them.
Okay, so her spirits are being lifted there.
Yeah. Once everyone had fallen asleep, Miss Shock closed every blind in the home. A piece of cloth was nailed over the window with no blind in the rear of the home.
That seems odd.
Drawing a revolver, she walked to her nephew's bedroom. David and Robert were killed instantly in the rear bedroom. Thomas and Walter Jr. met the same fate in the front bedroom, as did their parents.
Only
Walter Jr. and his mother survived, and Jr. would die later in the hospital.
Holidays are difficult on people.
Well,
can be.
This seems a little much.
Holidays are a stressful time.
With nearly the entire family dead, Miss Shock concocted a potion of poison, guzzling it to commit suicide shortly after writing a note about her grief-stricken life.
Why didn't she shoot herself?
Mrs. Dempsey, badly wounded, ran up the hill to St. Teresa's Church, screaming in terror. She managed to get the attention of Father Schlopel, who discovered the bodies in the home. Miss Dempsey and her son were rushed to the hospital, where only she survived. In all...
Yeah, the rest of them are not running marathons anymore.
In all, the victims included Walter F. Dempsey, her brother, Ruth Dempsey Hughes, 34, her sister, Robert R. Dempsey, 11, son of Walter, Walter Dempsey Jr., 8, son of Walter, David Dempsey, 6, son of Walter, David J. Dempsey, 15 months, son of Walter Dempsey.
Damn, 15 wounded, months?
Yeah. Wounded was Clara Dempsey, 36, wife of Walter Dempsey, and of course, 37-year-old Catherine Dempsey Shock. Michael Howe, the driver of the taxi which had brought Miss Shock to Perryville, reported that Miss Shock was somewhat quiet and told him she would not be around when asked if he could hire her as a family nurse. This response was ignored.
he dodged a bullet there, Colonel.
Sure,
he did.
No one could have predicted what happened in Perryville that fateful evening. The community was shocked. Any joy and happiness in the community had been obliterated by the murders. Most residents were in disbelief and could not believe that such a tragedy was capable of happening, let alone at the happiest time of year in the most peaceful small town north of Pittsburgh. Oh, it's like a Hallmark movie. The bodies were buried in St. Teresa's Cemetery a few days after Christmas. News of the murders reached near and far, having been published.
Like a Dateline episode.
Right. Having been published in the form of an Associated Press article, which spanned the United States. Perryville had found itself on the map, gaining temporary notoriety in the process. While Mrs. Dempsey apparently moved from the site of the tragedy, the house remained as the calendar page turned to 1935. And another family moved into the vacated property shortly after the murder occurred. Boy, they didn't. No.
Well, I mean, you
they
know,
didn't let grass grow under their feet.
It was housing shortage.
Let's get this shit sold.
Yeah.
Although the building changed somewhat over the years, losing its front porch, it remained an occupied home in Perrysville until the late 2000s. Having sat abandoned for a few years, it was demolished July 2011. The building had fallen into too deplorable shape by then and was torn apart without heavy machinery. In fact, in its final months, the doors were open. During its final years, a piece of pink and white cloth hung above the window, which had no drapery during the murder in 1934.
Hold on.
Although
hold
this
on,
was highly...
On. One second. One second here.
No.
That's sounds...
No.
What do you think about... you know what? I just got an offer. Electric Light Orchestra wants to do the orchestration for the Christmas song.
Yeah, you should let ELO do it.
Yep.
Well,
ELO?
ELO, yeah. But I've already committed to the Marshall Tucker Band, Timmy.
Oh, yeah, you got to go with Marshall Tucker Band. I like that Can't You See song.
Can't you see? What the devil now she dumb doing to me? There you go.
Oh, I like that. You like that, Randy?
No, hate it. All right, so.
What was it?
That's rude.
I know.
This year will mark 88 years since the gruesome murders. It serves as a reminder that even the most mundane, boring, and apparently safe neighborhood can be the backdrop of despicable deeds of evil, which may arrive in the form of a nurse traveling by taxicab, or perhaps out of nurses. Nowhere. Yeah, out of nowhere.
We're Ruth Buzzy, Colonel. You got her on your list?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. All right. Serves a reminder that even blah, 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 blah. Taking time to know your surroundings, becoming street smart, and never assume anything, even in a community as tranquil as Perryville. Oh, look at you. The more you know, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Well, I like, Brandy, I like to offer our listeners advice. I mean, this is an educational podcast.
It is. Of course, this also serves as a reminder for those facing mental health issues to get the help they need.
And we're serious about that.
If you or a loved one is suffering from grief, anxiety, or depression, take the time to talk to someone and be sure that the proper help is sought. Although it is often difficult to get through problems, which so often go ignored by those who simply say, tough it out, be like Chuck Norris and move on. Nobody says that. Mental health is a serious issue that needs to be addressed to better the lives of all involved and to prevent potential tragedies like the one which was happening on the evening of December 23rd, 1934. The dark clouds have lifted over the community, and the site of the murder has been gone for more than 10 years. The row of graves in St. Teresa's Cemetery serve as a reminder of why great care should be given to those suffering grief.
Go ahead.
Those suffering grief, and if any of you are sad or lonely or whatever, we say this every time we bring up something about suicide or anything. There's always somebody in the Facebook group that's available to listen if anybody's having problems. Is it 988 now you can call as a suicide hotline?
Yes, 988 in the United States.
988 in the United States.
Suicide and crisis lifeline.
Yes.
And then there's over 200 crisis centers around the United States.
Yes. So all of those things, this was kind of a downer thing that Tim put together. So he's really sorry about that. I'm sorry to have to read it. But absolutely, if any of you are in crisis, please reach out. There's always somebody to help. So, Timmy.
But you can get that Christmas spirit back after listening to this podcast.
For Christ's sake, I just got a note. Andrew, why in the hell would I want a bunch of dummies on my album? Andrew just asked me if I wanted the Moron Tabernacle Choir.
First of all, wrong. Second of all, you'd be lucky to get the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, Mormon.
Which is
he left the M out of that. Never mind.
Trans-Siberian.
He just said he wrote down the Moron Tabernacle Choir.
He's a moron.
You might need to have a little talk with Andrew.
Right, Andrew, for Christ's
sake.
You bring Angie back.
Hold on.
I know that I don't want to, approach any, gender issues, but.
Okay.
You used to call Andy Angie, and now you're calling him Andrew. So which is it?
It's neither. It doesn't matter.
Andrew is fluid. Andrew is fluid.
Okay. Here's the thing. Please listen. We have Mormon listeners, and I am an old Mormon. So all in all, that joke was pretty fucking offensive. However, what I will say is that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is one of the best things to come out of that religion.
Well, they could be.
So,
yeah, but is it better than the Trans-Siberian?
I don't think
Yes,
so.
They are.
No, they're not.
Because they're different. Well, one's a choir and one's an orchestra, you fuck. So
Colonel,
let's start with that.
One evening, you and Mrs. Colonel had
the Mormon Tabernacle Choir does not play instruments.
Would you go out
fuck?
To see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
You can't even say tabernacle. You can't even fucking say it.
Or would you go to see the Siberian Express Orchestra?
Hear 20 obese people fought. Oh, Silent Night. than have to go listen to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's all I'm saying.
And it's nothing against the religion, Brandy.
It wasn't against the religion. It's just Andrew left off the M. So I thought it was the Moron Tabernacle Choir. I have nothing against the fine people of Utah.
She's trying to cancel you, Colonel. She's trying to cancel you. That's it.
All I'm asking is that you just stop.
They can be a little culty, though. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
All right. Keeping it real.
So, Charles,
they can be a little cult.
What do you think of what Catherine Schock did?
Well, it really depends on the year. You know, I often
were you paying attention to know what she actually did?
And you know, Renee's family comes over. People from the American Legion come over, and sometimes I think
the American Legion.
Her mother belongs to the American Legion, and you know, it's like an open house. People stop by, and sometimes I think if me and my boys stepped out of here, and of course Rudy and you know Bo stepped out of here,
nobody
and the
notice.
Building collapsed, would the world be a better place? That's all I'm saying. Now,
all
it's a
I want
question
to know,
I'm
Colonel,
throwing out
is
there.
Andrew wear a belly shirt? Is what I want to know.
Why? Why do you want to know
right
if Andrew
now,
wears a half shirt?
I'm trying to visualize.
Andrew I don't
right
think that that's important.
Has a pair of Richard Simmons shorts and a cropped tank top on. And
okay.
I got to say, Andrew, that's hot. The gym, you're getting a little cut there. Your abs are looking good.
Oh, my God. All right. So we all agree that this was terrible.
Call I got one. I had a request come
anything.
In this week that I got to fulfill.
No, you didn't.
I
you
actually
did.
Not. I did.
No, you didn't.
It is going to be, she came to DweebCon. She came to DweebCon, and it's going to be her birthday. So I'm singing happy birthday to our Liz. Lawrence.
Oh, Liz. Down in New Orleans.
I would appreciate
Orleans,
if you did not say
Liz. Liz likes the Bee Gees.
We're gonna call her Lizard.
Lizard. Okay.
No, we're not.
Lizard.
She likes
we're
the
not.
Bee Gees, so let me get this out.
I don't want to do this part. Happy birthday, Liz. You didn't need to do this.
Happy
this is
birthday to you.
Oh, God.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Liz Lauren.
Lizard.
Happy birthday to you.
Perfect.
I love how you hit those high notes, Colonel.
How was that?
Okay.
How was
you
that
know,
range,
we, Brandy, we have to say happy birthday to her because you never know how many birthdays she lives in New Orleans. You don't really know how many birthdays she's got left.
Well, if she invites somebody over for Christmas, you know, you never
well,
know.
You know,
but that's okay. But we're done.
This I'm not.
Her birthday is during Mardi Gras. That's. I mean, she must be going like crazy.
How's this, Timmy? You're just sitting. You know, you're drinking some eggnog, and all of a sudden you get. And you what? Yes,
Avon Lady.
What?
Landshark.
What?
Gonna shoot everybody in the house.
Oh, okay. Come on in. I mean, that's just who wants that?
Lorraine
kind of
Newman. That's who you could have
exactly.
on your CD.
Lorraine
you
Newman.
Know, Dan Aykroyd.
He couldn't carry Lorraine Newman's socks. Why don't you get Bailey Quarters?
I always thought she
Bailey
was,
Quarters
I always
will sing
she
with
was,
you.
Let's face this. Lorraine Newman was the weakest link on
oh,
Saturday
yeah.
Night Live.
Oh,
yeah.
She had her moments. Leave Lorraine alone. All right.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you could give a lot, or Colonel.
Just the tip, Timmy. Just the tip.
All one word. We appreciate your support. And that's going to wrap us up for now. We hope you all have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
How to make love to a woman.
Bukkake.
Oh my God.
I gotta go now.
Future. your ass in here.
That's hot.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.